Grace and peace to you from him who loves us and has freed us from our sins with his own blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. The Holy Gospel from Matthew chapter 5 will be our focus this morning. The curtain opens. The lights go dim. The screen in front of you gets brighter. And a quote from Martin Luther appears in iconic lettering. In our day, the true Christian life has reappeared. Terrible in the world's eyes because it means suffering and persecution, but precious and priceless in God's sight. Dot, dot, dot. The words fade out, and a large medieval town appears before your eyes. It's the town of Brussels. And the screen zooms in on the marketplace, and a crowd is gathering in that marketplace. And there are two Augustinian friars in the middle of everything. Their monks' tonsure and brown habits give them away. These two men are Heinrich Voss and Johann Esch. They face something horrible. They're tied in the middle of a mountain of wood, and they face their end. These are the first Lutheran martyrs. Heinrich and Johann face their end, though, not for Luther, but for Christ and his word. They are undeterred by the weeping and the wailing of the women around them. They're undeterred by the insults of the inquisitors. They're undeterred by the fact that the 23 other monks in their monastery kind of back down. They're sitting safely on the sidelines. They're ready. They're resolute. About a month later, Martin Luther hears of their deaths, and deeply moved, Luther writes his very first hymn, Ein neues Lied wir heben an, a new song now we begin. And at that point, it's like a eureka moment, a flurry of hymns and hymnals comes forth, all to the glory of God and for the good of his saints. And as you're watching this, you notice that there's been a tune playing the whole time, softly at first in the background. It started out like dissonance, didn't seem quite right, but soon the beauty and the majesty of this tune is overwhelming. It is the timeless tune of truth. The screen fast forward exactly 100 years to the year 1623. And there's another town in Bohemia on the other side of the European continent. It's the town of Joachimsthal. And the Counter-Reformation is underway. The Catholic emperor's emissary reads a decree from the steps of the town church, and the Lutheran pastor and the two deacons are expelled from the town. And the townspeople, the vast majority of whom are Lutheran, accompany their pastor to the edge of the city limits along with those friendly soldiers sent by the emperor. And the people then return to their homes singing, "Salvation unto us has come." And thanks to homes filled with Lutheran hymnals and catechisms and sermon books, the pure teaching of the gospel survives for another 25 years. Despite the punishments and penalties for not going to the Catholic Mass, despite the fact that every public institution was forcibly Catholicized, and thanks in large measure to the women of Joachimsthal, the vast majority of them refused, disobeyed the imperial authorities, and disobeyed even their own husbands, rather than abandon the faith they had learned at their mother's knee with Luther's hymn and the plain words of the Bible. You see on that screen the scene about 25 years later. as the last Lutherans in Joachimsthal decide to leave. 853 people in all, miners, milkmaids, mothers, and children. They emigrated en masse over the mountains, Sound of Music style, into Lutheran Saxony. And again, there's this tune playing as you watch this. It sounded like discord at times, didn't sound quite right, but still that majesty, that beauty, that power overwhelms you. This is the timeless tune of truth. What exactly is this tune, and from whence does it come, you wonder? Well, the screen pans a visual timeline. It goes back into time, back to the start of the first millennia, and it zooms in on a small area of Galilee. And there's a large crowd gathering on a hill. It's really a small mount. And there's a man sitting there giving a sermon on that mount. And he opens his mouth and he speaks to his followers who are in front of him. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed, blessed, blessed." The one speaking these words is, in fact, treating us to the timeless tune of truth. This is Jesus of Nazareth, and he is sharing that tune in words of gracious blessing. These are the tune and the words that you heard earlier. "Blessed," Jesus says to his saints, his holy ones, his people. "Blessed," he says, "to you." Not happy, as some might render that word, as if this rabbi was the first creator of those sappy smile emojis that you send your friends. "Blessed, favored by God, chosen by him, showered with good things from the Almighty, unconditionally, graciously blessed." A tune started out sounding kind of funny. You remember now, it just didn't seem right as you hear and see all this. Why? You see, you and I are accustomed to a different tune. This other tune has been playing for a long, long time, and we've heard it and we've sung it our entire lives. And our experience outside this venue has only served to strengthen that tune's legitimacy for a part of us. You know the tune. "Happy are the pushy and the powerful, because they get what they want and they finish first. Happy are those who are complimented, congratulated, and celebrated because they get their participation trophies and so much more. Happy are those who never mourn because they're not bothered by the sting of death or old-fashioned concepts like sin and shame." How natural that tune sounds to a part of us. And even now, as Christ's holy people, we wrestle with that tune. Why is that tune so appealing to us? Well, Martin Luther referred to it as the tune of the counterfeit saints. It entices us. It woos and wins us at times. And it rings out when we get so proud in our own accomplishments that we can't help but tell everybody what we're doing. And we're just talking about ministry, but boy, do we love to talk about ourselves. It rings out when we are confronted with people who just don't really appreciate how good I am. It rings out when we chase after success and satisfaction, and every other satanic idol that masquerades as a God-pleasing goal. And when that tune rings out, we deserve to hear only one thing from this rabbi on the hillside: cursed. And yet you take a minute and you see the people to whom Jesus has spoken these words. Not just first century Jews with sunburnt skin, dark eyes, and dusty clothes. Not just medieval Europeans with blonde hair and blistered hands. Well, you see people from every nation, tribe, language, and people, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, are treated to this timeless tune from the lips of Jesus himself. And you are treated too. What he says sounds so backwards, so upside down. But therein lies the key to understanding everything Jesus is singing and doing for us. Blessed are the merciful, because they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, because they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, because they will be called sons of God. This is not a 10-point plan to better living. This is the undeserved status that you and I and all the saints have before our Father in heaven. This undeserved status of blessed because of Jesus. Not a counterfeit saint, but a son, a daughter of the living God. And Jesus sings this song, and this is the saints' symphony. Within the terror and the trouble of this world, what Jesus is doing here is showing us the kingdom, his kingdom, within the kingdom of this world. And he does it all in these words of gracious blessing that we don't deserve, that we haven't earned, but are simply spoken over us by the Savior, the Son of God himself. Now, the kingdom of this world will never accept or understand or approve of the song that Jesus is singing here. Now, how do we know that? Well, just consider what Jesus says and connect it with what happened in his life. Jesus was merciful, but was he shown mercy? Jesus was pure in heart, and what did he see? Jesus was the ultimate peacemaker, and yet he died as a criminal, an insurrectionist. Well, Jesus has borne the punishment for us. And we know what those people who are addicted to that other tune, we know what they did to Jesus, the creator of this timeless tune. They crucified, killed, and discarded him. They didn't want anything to do with him. And yet because of his work in our place, bearing our sin and our shame and making eternal satisfaction, now we have this song to sing. And Jesus puts it into our hearts and on our lips. And he says, this is your song. This is the song of the saints throughout the centuries. With limitless love and bountiful blessing, Jesus is treating us to this every single day of our lives, whether we see it or not, whether we always hear it or not, whether we appreciate it or not. This is our good and gracious God at work for us. And this tune continues to play out in our world. We don't just hear it, we can see it at times. Do you see it? Do you see it play out? The screen flashes to Ukraine, and Russian tanks are rolling through the countryside, and all the while, a small Lutheran congregation meets in a house church. And then the images flash further south to the shores of the Mediterranean Sea, and there are Christians in orange jumpsuits with cowards wearing black masks and holding swords behind them. The images take you further south to Africa, in sub-Saharan Africa, where a group of Christians gathers around a well, and they long to drink deeply from the water of life. All the while, Boko Haram is in the village next door planning a surprise attack. And the image even pans the Atlantic to a small Lutheran church with an even smaller choir. And there you are, sitting, waiting, wondering, why why can't we get any more basses to join this choir? And praying that the sopranos hit that next note. And even here, even there, a timeless tune is running through your heart and mind, because that tune is seen in lives of glad confessing. See, my friends, this tune that Jesus sings for us is not the latest pop hit from Bruno Mars. And the experience of the Christian church is not a Netflix series that you're going to binge watch with your friends. No, this is the true Christian life. This is your life and mine even now. And Jesus says to us, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. This is the part that we don't always like to think about or talk about. And we know that life is not all worship conference and Wells Connections. Life is pain, persecution, just as Jesus promised. Martin Luther and the other reformers understood it well. First the cross, then the crown. And here Jesus connects for us the beautiful and intimate connection between our present reality and our future hope. Jesus doesn't tell us that great things will be yours in the future, or that you might see the kingdom, or that I hope you guys make it through it. Good luck. No, Jesus said, yours is the kingdom of heaven. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall see him as he is. And so now, by faith, we walk and we see this song even in the lives of glad confessing that you and I live. If we were living as if this tune didn't exist, how sad our existence would be. We'd prepare worship music with disgruntled attitudes. We'd write sermons expecting mass conversions and then get upset when that doesn't happen. We would look down on everybody else and praise everything that we do. And if we forgot this song, if we do forget it, then there's only one song that we will be singing. It's the song of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because if we live according to the sinful nature and its tune, we will die. But the crucified one sings this song into our hearts through his word. And Jesus treats you and me to this tune, and at times it does become visible in the lives of God's people. Not perfectly, it's never that way this side of heaven. But there is rejoicing and gladness, even in the midst of pain and persecution, deadlines and disappointments. And the love of Christ is poured out on us through word and sacrament, and we can hum. We can hum this tune even when choirs aren't everything we hope they would be. We can hum this tune as we prepare that lesson for those students who just don't get it, whatever it might be. We can hum this tune because brothers and sisters around the world and throughout time are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And we hum this tune because it makes Satan squirm when we sing that song. Now, finally, the screen puts in front of you a very plain house in a very plain American neighborhood. And inside that house, there's a mother standing at a table with a child lying in front of her. She's changing a diaper, even as her child emits a song of its own. And two more little ankle biters swirl around her legs, singing their song, Mom, Mom, Mom. And a smile appears on her face as she lives out her vocation as a Christian mother and wife and musician and friend. She has a smile on her face because she's been treated to the timeless tune of truth. And that smile is yours through a Savior who loves you and sings it. This song is the song of joy and victory, and even now it's resounding in the tents of the righteous. Amen. Please stand. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he never leave us nor forsake us. May he turn our hearts to him to guide us in all our ways. Amen. May be seated.